It usually takes a couple of weeks for kids to reacclimate to school after summer break, but this fall, well, it's a whole new ball game.
We're not going to ever be Fortnite, but we can create engaging lessons and keep those students interested.
That's Irving School Principal Messina Lambert. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, September 15th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with a McLean County school district that shifted to remote learning for two additional days after three students and a teacher tested positive for the coronavirus. Eric Stock has the details.
Superintendent of Tri-Valley Schools in Downs, David Mauser, says the district made the move Saturday after learning of the test results. He says he's confident contact tracing could be done before in-class instruction resumes Thursday.
We have seating charts in every classroom. We know, you know, where kids have been, and that's really some of the protocols that all schools that are going in person just have to do.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There were 24 new coronavirus cases reported yesterday in McLean County. That's the lowest single-day total in over 3 weeks. The positivity rate for testing fell for the fourth straight day, down to 6.6%. ISU has opened a new mobile testing site outside the Alumni Center on North Main Street. It'll be open to the community, including faculty and staff, from 9 to 5 through Wednesday. And Anthony Grampsis of Decatur has been sentenced to 45 years in prison for his role in the 2018 murder of Egerton Dover of Bloomington. Find more on those stories at WGLT.org. Remote learning is a challenge for families, rich, poor, and everyone in between. But for low-income families, the challenges of going to school without going to school are even greater. Irving Elementary in Bloomington has among the highest population of low-income students in Bloomington. Principal Messina Lambert says remote learning is going better than expected, in part because she and her staff tempered their own expectations. She says teachers have a tendency to want to overachieve.
And if you were to walk into a classroom here at Irving, you would see in many classrooms, teachers have a couple different screens they're working from, whether it be another computer monitor or even some of them brought in TVs so that they can see all of their kids on one screen and have other things on their Zoom here, which again, that's not how we're set up to function here, but they have figured those things out. They're showing that they're not just going to, you know, go through the motions and be that teacher that's just getting it done. They're going to go above and beyond like they normally do and just learn this new technology to go along with it. So I've been so impressed with what's able to happen and how they're meeting the needs of kids in this new manner.
What's been the biggest challenge so far?
Technology issues have been a big challenge. Some of it starting with my teachers and staff needing to learn the technology that they're now forced to use as the only delivery method of instruction. So that was step one. And then from the student side, just our devices, like so many districts in not just our area, but our nation, you know, we're all needing devices. And we had ordered new devices and there were just some supply chain issues that have prevented them from getting to us in a timely fashion. So we're still, we were fortunate enough to have enough devices for staff and for students. They're just not the devices we would have preferred to given out. So there's some issues with those.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because Irving Elementary School has more students coming from low-income families than really just about every other school in Bloomington Normal. It's about 80% for you. So what are the unique challenges that come along with that during remote learning?
First of all, devices. We were able to provide every student a device regardless of their income. It's just a school-issued device. So that was step one. So parents didn't have to worry about a device. They just had to worry about if it was, you know, broken, if there was a tech issue. So which we've been able to support with. The second thing is actually having Wi-Fi access, because we know that that's not the same type of utility like water and electricity and gas. So many families have those. But if you've got multiple kids, using your own Wi-Fi at home can really impact the speed and the accessibility based on what level of bandwidth you have. So we have been able to provide through the district for our low-income students hotspots if they need them. And they're good for up to 8 children. Eight devices can be connected at one time. We're also continuing to provide lunches, meals. We're doing that twice a week. We're giving them multiple lunches. We have a few sites throughout the community. We have one at every school. So Irving has a site. And then we also have sites at, you know, the Bloomington Housing Authority locations like Wood Hill and other points in town that are strategic. And then we're giving on Tuesday and Thursday lunches and breakfasts out. And now they've just made it, the state has just made it possible for those to be free, following different guidelines than we typically have to follow during the school year. All of Irving students would get it for free anyway, but now there's siblings in junior high and high school who may have only been, you know, paying a reduced rate or maybe paying the full rate can also have those meals for free.
Hear more of this interview with Principal Messina Lambert tonight at 5 on Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, the Normal Human Relations Commission meets today at 5:15. They'll talk about national police brutality and their own complaint process. And the Heartland Community College Board will also meet starting at 6. It's their first meeting since the death of Board Chair Greg Chadwick. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.